episode 16 of Drunk on Comics, starting now.
Hello and welcome once again to Drunk on Comics. This is our podcast where we quench our thirst for comic books, conventions, and other
I'm thirsty today. Good thing I'm here.
Well, and are you thirsty for some nerdly nuggets of fun? Because we might have some of those.
That sounds like something I'm going to be
drinking.
Or wiping off later. I don't know.
I'll be shitting them out later.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Glad that you're here listening to us again. My name is Derek. With me again this week, we have Kevin and Tony.
Hey.
Gentlemen.
Waka, waka, waka.
That was me doing my beatbox. Scratching some records.
I was thinking that was a Fozzie Bear, waka, waka, waka.
A tip for all the men out there, never go up to your girlfriend, grab her ass, and say that. Man, will you get cold cocked. Actually, she just punched me in the gut.
Or cock knocked, one of the two. All right, well,
Derek, why are we here?
We are here for a couple reasons. We're going to talk about some comic books. We're going to talk about some news. Might talk about some stuff on the interwebs. We'll probably talk a little bit about drinking, which, by the way, cheers, gentlemen.
Oh, that was cheers. Weak.
There, that's better. Tony, you have plastic glass. It's not going to work. Yeah. Might as well be a solo cup.
Whiskey's good, too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm down with that. So, we're going to get things started off here this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, wherever you may be in your day, with Off the Shelf. This is where we're going to talk about comic books that came out this week, maybe even mention some that came out a couple weeks prior. So here's your warning. We are going to talk about things that happened in the book. So yes, there will be spoilers. If you don't like spoilers, or you want to read your books first, go do that. Then come back and listen to us. Otherwise, if you don't care, or if you really like them, you're in the perfect spot. So, Off the Shelf this week is brought to you once again by Detroit Fanfare. It's going to be October 26th, 27th, and 28th, the Hyatt Regency in Dearborn, Michigan. We will be there setting up so you guys can all come by and say hi to us. We're going to do a live recording of our podcast there as well. You can find Detroit Fanfare at DetroitFanfare.com. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Twitter as well. So, Kevin, why don't you kick us off this week with your book that you got?
Sure. Well, I've been baiting between a couple of books, but I'm going to go with the one that claims the future begins here.
Oh, well, yeah, it does.
So, which is Marvel Point One. Now, I just went to the shop, and I saw The Watcher on the cover, and I'm like...
And you picked it up because, you know, I think he's a dick.
Well, actually, that's a secondary reason, because I enjoyed The Watcher and what he brings to the table. Again, big What If fan. So I'm like, you know, the price tag is pretty hefty for this book, $5.99.
It's a thick book, though.
It is super thick. So that didn't disturb me because of the price didn't disturb me because of the thickness. So I saw The Watcher, didn't even flip through it, picked it up. Okay, so... All right, now this book, it's actually not until at the end that I find out that actually there's a lot of different writers and artists.
Well, I think it's a compilation.
Yeah, it really is, and I can't really name all these guys, because it's just that would be the review.
Well, that that's fine. But, I mean, a compilation book like that is going to be a little bit different.
So. So basically how this opens up is you have a couple of guys and their identity is concealed. They bust into where the Watcher stays. Now, apparently, the Watcher sleeps every 3 years for 47 minutes.
Do you mind if I take a peek at this?
Keep
talking. Okay. But I haven't seen it.
So they find out somehow when this period of time is. They're going to go in, download what he's seeing, because apparently during this time he's uploading the thoughts into the collective. Now, how on earth they know all this, that's an interesting mystery they don't explain about. But what they do is when they're downloading all this info, they're looking into all these little bits into the future. Now, I don't know if it's alternate realities or things to come, and I think not until the last one where I think it's things to come, because now you guys know that they're doing this big, huge Ultron event coming up.
Ultron War.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I only picked that up from the ads. And there's about like six or seven short stories. And it, for me, it was just like a very brief introduction to the Scarlet Spider. There's a little bit of Nova in there. But all these stories, I didn't really have an idea what they were trying to achieve with these. And
well, they're trying to achieve selling a comic book for $6.
$6.
And it worked.
It worked to me. So there were some introductions to some characters I don't think I've ever heard of.
Cold Moon.
Cold Moon and Dragonfire, have they been around?
I haven't heard of them. I also saw there's an Age of Apocalypse in there, so I mean, there's definitely going to be characters you probably weren't familiar with.
Yeah.
That's an alternate.
It is? Okay. Yeah. And then there's a feature from Doctor Strange in there, which I thought was I didn't particularly care for it. It was just not at the end. Where they were talking about the story arc with Ultron, that seemed pretty interesting. Of course, I'm a big Terminator fan, so it has those kind of elements to it. And then it wraps up about these guys going in, mission accomplished. They stole what they wanted to from the Watcher, and they left it hanging. So I don't know if that's going to play a bigger role
into the future. That starts here.
It starts now.
Well, there is some stuff. I believe my brother did pick this up before, and because some of the stuff that you're saying sounds familiar.
Well, he may have picked up some of the issues, individual issues. But it looks like there's seven books in there.
Yeah, but I was gonna say one thing though is the Ultron thing. There was actually an Avengers, which whenever they do time travel, it kind of pisses me off because half the time then the world never becomes that.
Okay.
The one thing I hate about Cable, but I love about Cable, is he's always trying to prevent this future, which, as you can tell in comic book world, the future isn't even set, though. I mean, it can change. Yeah, usually future sucks. Days of Futures Past and all those things. The future just looks like it sucks all around.
The whole thing with Hope, Age of Apocalypse. Yep. Tell me one future where, like, they came back and said, you need to make sure you do this, because then everything ends up happy at the end. Yeah. That hasn't happened.
But there was, though, this scene when they're in the future of the a timeline that someone had written out. And if you read closely enough, you could see certain events that some of them look like they had just come on presently. I think this was around the Fear Itself shitty storyline.
You ever see the movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage?
No, I'm pretty sure it's the same as every other Nicolas Cage movie.
This one was shittier, but that's kind of the basic. He has this big script, and these are the events that are going to come, and then the one pops.
Oh yeah, okay, I remember that.
That movie was really bad. So hopefully Marvel wouldn't if they do that, they'll improve upon it.
This is a total side note. I wonder if they'll ever put Nicolas Cage and Keanu Reeves in a bad act off kind of movie. Anyway,
well, all right. I'll finish this up. Man, some of the art here is better than others. I like the smooth stuff and the Scarlet Spider stuff.
Scarlet Spider was Ryan Stegman, which you guys know I'm a huge fan of his stuff.
The parts that I really like, the art was a little gritty, and that's just not for me. At the end of the day, it's got me actually kind of excited for this Ultron thing coming up with Avengers, and I'm sure they'll cross it over for the entire universe. But at the end of the day,
Not worth the $6, huh?
No, save your money on that one. For the fans of The Watcher, don't let the cover fool you.
Yeah.
It's got me excited, but yeah, save your money.
Got it. All right. Well, Tony and I are going to tag team some stuff here together. We are, for as awkward as that may sound.
Yeah, DP.
Can you?
Eiffel Tower. Like, what?
I'm here for a tag in every once in a while. So I'm sitting there in the corner.
Get the camera.
Reaching my arm out.
Get the camera.
Okay.
Yeah, so we are going to talk about all the AVX, well, primarily the AVX book, but also a bunch of the tie-ins. What we've got down, and Tony, if I'm missing anything, let me know. We've got Avengers vs. X-Men number 11 from Jason Aaron, Brian Michael Bendis, Ed Brubaker, Matt Fraction, Jonathan Hickman, art by Oliver Coipel and Mark Morales. New Avengers number 30, written also by Bendis, art by Mike Diodato and Rain Burrito. Wolverine and the X-Men number 16 by Jason Aaron, Chris Bocciolo, and Tim Townsend. Uncanny X-Men number 18 by Kieran Gillen, Ron Garney, Jason Keith, and Maury Hallowell. So
I wanted to just all of a sudden say something, interrupt you, and have you lose your tongue twister you just did.
Yeah, so I felt like I was singing Into the World from REM again. But so we're covering a lot here. We're going to jump back and forth. This is going to be a little bit different than our normal thing. So, Tony, you want to kick it off? Or
yeah, let's kick this.
Let's start with AVX, because that's like the tie-ins kind of go with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's going to be the big reveal anyways, which we might as well get that out of the way. Holy shit, a huge person in the X-Men, franchise is dead.
Cyclops killed Professor X.
And out of anything...
Good thing we tell people that this is a spoiler show.
Yeah.
Because that would piss me off.
Yeah. Oh, it pissed me off when I was going to look for little news nuggets that they're like, somebody talk... And it was like Wednesday morning. It was before the comic book store even opened. There was shit on the internet. And I'm like, damn it. Like, I had to just stop looking. I'm like, I can't do any research.
Really? Okay, so was this a news thing before it actually happened?
It was, the news was released that morning.
Okay, well, that's good that they kept it under wraps for that long.
Well, yeah.
That's a big deal. I mean, because I don't know what's happening in modern comics, but Professor X is still got to be a big deal, right?
Well, not anymore. Now he's dead. So yeah, so The AVX, I mean, there were a couple cool things in there. The one I loved when Captain America went at the beginning of the book and got Hulk to join up.
Mm-hmm.
That was a gorgeous splash page, too.
This is also, like, the culmination of the event.
Yeah.
Which, though, with that big reveal of killing Professor X, I want to know how they're going to outdo themselves on the last book.
Well, I mean, you and I kind of talked a little bit about it. I mean, and for those that didn't read the book yet, and we're ruining it for you, you're welcome. But but there's an all-out brawl. If you haven't caught up, the Avengers and the X-Men are now teamed up against Cyclops and Emma Frost, the last two with the Phoenix Force here. So, it's, I think how they're going to take care of it, my guess, and we kind of talked about this the other night when we were just, chatting, is that I wouldn't be surprised to see them actually kill off Cyclops.
Well, that's something I was saying a while ago. It ultimately, how I see this ending, which is kind of how I want to end the segment, but might as well throw us now. I ultimately see he's now the Dark Phoenix.
Well, okay.
Didn't see that coming.
Well, yeah. And I got to say, the one thing that, like, I thought that this was hands down the best single issue of the Avengers versus X-Men out of that 12-issue story arc, the 11 that we've seen. I think it's the best one, except for the last word balloon on the last page, down the corner. Kevin, you haven't seen it. I'm going to open it up. Did you even notice this, Tony?
I read it, but...
Well, okay. The absolute last thing on there when...
Does he see something? Does he say something like, psych?
That would be awesome. No, so, at the end of this, Cyclops, and part of this comes into play in the Uncanny X-Men issue... Cyclops lets Emma get her ass whooped so that he can take her portion, her other half of the Phoenix Force. And so, at the very end, you got a double-page splash where, Cyclops is saying, I am fire and life incarnate, now and forever, I am Phoenix. And then at the bottom, there's a little white panel that says, he's Dark Phoenix. Really? Come on. Give your readers just a little bit of credit. Just a little bit of credit. It's like, he's Dark Phoenix. Oh, you're stupid. Like, that part pissed me off. I'm like, it was perfect till that one thing.
I have to say, this is my... I still love this book, but I have to say, when they first became the Phoenix Five, that was a huge shocker to me. Always kept thinking it was going to go straight for Hope. We kind of all thought this is how it's going to end, and she's going to go crazy and be Jean Grey. When they split it up into five, I thought that was an awesome idea, and then the books that came out of it with those five doing all this shit around the world... was awesome. And then it was even sweeter to see these people lose their powers. Yeah. Namor kind of, you know, going off the deep end, and especially Magik and Colossus.
Yeah.
When they fought each other, and what they even explained in was Uncanny, I believe it
was. Yeah, Uncanny was a fantastic
book. When she says, "I'm not your snowflake, you know, I did this. I made you become the Juggernaut."
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, Illyana is a sadistic little bitch, though.
Oh, she just turned from, like, kind of having that sweet quality that Colossus liked to straight up bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and Kevin, what she did in this was she actually told, she actually had Colossus when the siege thing or the fear itself?
Fear
itself that was going on when they couldn't stop Juggernaut, and Illyana took Colossus and Kitty to go see Sidorak.
Yep.
And said, "Hey, look, he's not acting in your name." And so, Sidorak said, "Well, fine, then I need somebody else to be my avatar." Mm-hmm. And Colossus stepped up and said he'd do it.
No, actually, well, Magik was going to run in and do it, and then Colossus said no. jumped right in front of her.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it wasn't her really going to jump in anyway. She was kind of running and faking and then kind of going, psych, when she saw him running past him.
Yeah, like she set him up to become this so that he could be this tortured soul and understand her better. So, I mean, it was insane when you see that. One other thing in X-Men, because, you know, they've been teasing this affair with Emma and Namor for a long time. Emma actually admits that they had, like, mind sex.
Yeah.
You know? she had a psychic affair. When he was, like, blowing the shit out of Wakanda, apparently she was blowing him, too. So, you know, it's out of all the tie-ins, I think this is one of the best tie-ins that there's been, you know, so far. Now, there were a couple other tie-ins that we kind of should jump on here, and then we can kind of come back to the whole thing. Wolverine and the X-Men. Here's one of my problems with the tie-ins. This one is a couple, where in the storyline, it's a couple months old, because you still had all five of them with the Phoenix Force.
They had that scene, yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's like, their timing on it wasn't as good. It was still a really good issue. But,
well, I think just that one page was bad because they didn't even really interact with any of them but Cyclops anyways.
Right.
So I know which scene you're talking about where it shows all of them swoop in.
Yeah, I mean, because in this one, you got the Young Hellfire Club.
Well, to tell you the truth, though, that kind of was a flashback anyways, because then they're in the prison. So, I mean, if you really look at it, maybe they didn't really break continuity.
They were in the prison within a day after that happened. So, I mean, it's like, you know. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of weird. I mean, I did like all the different Sentinels that the Hellfire Club is growing. You know, they had that Transformer Sentinel, which I knew that you probably got a little moist over, Tony. The art, I love Chris Bachalo's art in this book, by the way. I did have to bring that up. The one thing I didn't care for in this one, though, as a side note, was I didn't like Cade Kilgore talking to the reader that he knew that you're reading about him. It's like, that just seemed kind of stupid to me. I mean, have the inner monologue, but you don't have to address me. All of a sudden, I'm taken now out of the story, not drawn into it.
Yeah, you're not Deadpool, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I felt like it was.
I have to say, the issue right before this, though, probably one of my favorite Wolverine versus X-Men, and tied in more to this story arc besides this. This is obviously setting up for some future shit with the X-Men anyways.
Yeah.
And kind of throwing it in there. But number 15 of Wolverine and X-Men had the big brains, Beast, you know, Stark.
Brood comes in.
And so, showing that he's a small genius, talking about how they're going to capture the Phoenix Force, and then they're like, wow, those numbers, you might be onto something. That right in itself is like, what the hell did they just come up with to somehow capture this Phoenix Force? It intrigues me to want to know.
I kind of wish they would have continued it into this issue.
Yeah, but the best, probably one of the best scenes I've seen, or best drawings, was at the very last page. You see Beast kind of reminiscing of the old team, and they show a picture of the old team.
The original X-Men team.
And then out comes Professor X, Rachel,
yep.
Summers, Archangel, Iceman.
Kitty Pryde, I think, was in there too, wasn't she, or no?
No, and then Beast. So pretty much it was the whole original Minus Cyclops.
Yeah. One thing, Kevin, you'll be interested to know that the next issue of Wolverine and the X-Men, Dupe. I sent you the link on Dupe.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he looks like a green jelly bean. I sent it to you a long time ago.
Oh.
So, but yeah, so I mean, that was it. Now, let's kind of go back and kind of recapsulate all of what's going on here. I mean, so now we got Cyclops kills Professor X. You think, what we talked, Tony, that do you think what they'll end up doing is having Cyclops end up killing himself, kind of like, you know, sacrificing himself in a Jean Grey kind of style?
I hope not, because I hate him. I want him to just get killed.
Well,
I don't want him to become a martyr and people like, oh, he was so good. I mean, he's a dick right now. And that's how I can't see him having a redeeming quality about it. But at the same point, too, I mean, he can't live forever. I mean, they were even, what was great about their inner dialogue and stuff, especially in the Uncanny when he's talking to Emma, when they're having the dinner, saying, yeah, we're in, you know, a mindscape right now, and they're attacking our bodies.
Yeah, and they're eating steak with human blood for a sauce.
Seeing their minds kind of being warping to, like, let's just destroy this Earth. Let's just start over. Seeing that, and you kind of saw the progression throughout all this, they set out being good and wanting to do it, but just that ultimate power kind of started corrupting them and saying, well, shit, these people don't, you know, they're not worshiping me or care, so let's kind of get rid of them, start new. I don't want to see him, like I said, be martyred. I don't want to see him be like, oh, I'm going to sacrifice myself. I want to see him get punched by the Hulk, hit with Thor's hammer, and ultimately decapitated by Wolverine.
Yeah, I would love to see Wolverine be the one that kills him.
Yeah.
Because that would be the ultimate retribution for their fight, you know, going on.
Well, one thing I was also thinking, too, I also kind of find it poetic that Cyclops is now the Phoenix and the Dark Phoenix because, hell, it was always his girlfriend and his wife. Now he kind of gets to realize what she had to go through.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested, although we, you know, the one thing, knowing what's going to happen with Marvel now, where they're bringing back the original X-Men team out of time from the past into the future, you think that they might just kill the current Cyclops and replace him with the old?
Oh, for sure. I think, however the death blow is, whenever he is dying, you're going to get that glimpse of old Cyclops, which I can allow them to do that. Maybe he all of a sudden is like, you know, I am sorry. And he just thinks of one picture. He thinks of that picture. He's still got the power. It's not out of him yet. He thinks of that picture.
And that's what
he dies and brings him back. I mean, that's how I have a feeling it would go. I mean, I hope it's not just, oh, let's just time travel these people to the future. I hope that it's he manifests reality thinking of the good old times.
Well, and there's the possibility, too, then, that Professor X is only dead for one issue.
But the team that they showed, though, was, you know, it showed Cyclops, Jean, Iceman, Beast.
An angel.
What kind of sucks is then there's going to be some doppelgangers of people. Obviously, there's going to be a Cyclops and a Jean, and I can't see them having two Cyclopses in this world.
No, but you'll have the two Beasts, you'll have the two Angels.
But you have one Beast that's not furry and as smart and intelligent, so I'm okay with that. The Iceman nowadays is just, he's alpha level power.
I would love if they made the Iceman look like the snowballs.
Oh yeah, like the first.
And then we have two different angels who are completely different people right now. One that even though his mind's been, you know, rewarped and he's a good person, I still have this feeling that he's still got the touch of Apocalypse. He's still got Archangel.
He does have the ability of the, you know, the razor blades out of the wings and all that.
And he's friends with Genesis right now, which we all know how that kid's going to turn out.
Well, and, you know, I mean, if I don't think you read Uncanny X-Force this week, did you?
No.
Yeah, that's pretty freaky. You need to pick that up and catch up what's going on with him over there.
Okay.
Well, but it's interesting listening to you guys about what's going on. Actually, sounds like it's what's going to happen kind of actually ties in a little bit to point one, the Marvel point one that I read. So it made one of these little side stories that they were talking about. I don't know. I I kind of see it makes a little bit more sense. So.
Which one? Was it the Nova one?
Yeah, the Nova one, where he's just like, oh, fuck, Phoenix is bad.
You know what? Actually, let me take a peek at that, because I think that this one, this Nova story, was originally released only on digital. It may have been. I don't know that 100%, but it kind of looks like the one where he was trying to outrun the Phoenix. And I think it was a digital. Yeah, it could be. I'm not sure. It's been a while. So, all right. So, Tony, what do you? Were there any of these books you read that you didn't like?
No, I liked them all. Even the new Avengers.
Yeah, which we really didn't touch on that one.
That was kind of cool because it was actually the only book of after the fact that
Emma was out of it.
Was out of it, and Professor X was dead. That had a kind of cool storyline of Luke Cage.
Yeah, he's having a baby, and he quits the team.
And you find out Daredevil and him share something in common.
Which was really funny, because Daredevil, they're transporting Emma Frost after she's been, after her Phoenix powers are gone.
Good.
They're transporting her as a prisoner. And Daredevil makes a joke, something about, like, the fact that both he and Luke Cage are black. Which is great. I mean, it was, but you know what? He made a couple other jokes in that book, and I really enjoyed Daredevil, and that's why I bought it. I don't normally buy it, but I'm a huge DD fan. You know, so that was good. I think that was really good, solid writing, really good panel layouts in the book, too.
Yeah, I just can't believe that this whole story arc is ending. I'm kind of actually happy with the future now. I'm okay with this thing. Obviously, when the next thing, this wraps up, we're going to be talking about it then, too, in a couple weeks. Yeah. So. I think right now we can kind of leave the readers with a little tidbit of Xavier's dead. Spoiler alert after the fact.
Yeah, and if you haven't read these yet, I would recommend, in my opinion, I'd recommend reading Wolverine and the X-Men first.
Yeah.
You know, then read Avengers versus X-Men number 11. Then you can either read Uncanny. I think you'd probably be better off reading Uncanny and then read New Avengers, probably in that
order. Yeah.
You know, would kind of help here. Because it's the one problem. And actually, that's one thing that I really liked. I opened up New Avengers first, and it said, warning, do not read this until you've read Avengers versus X-Men number 11. I'm like, thank you. Close that. Go read, you know, that.
Yeah, I saw that. That was, that's very nice.
Yeah.
In the summary portion.
Yeah, so. All right, so that pretty much wraps up, I think, what we're going to do for the off the shelf this week, then. I mean,
yeah.
We kind of took a little bit different turn than what we normally do, but, you know, everything's fluid here. Speaking of fluid, it's time to drink. So, we actually had a suggestion from somebody that we need to turn this into a drinking game.
Oh, I've already started thinking of the rules, and I'm just terrified to do it yet, but just by the end of the show, we will be shit-faced, but we will be having the...
For ourselves or for the listeners?
Yes. Yeah. I think the listeners need to start. Well, I told Tony, you know, when this suggestion was first, you know, put out to me, I said, if we start doing this every time I make a bad joke, we're going to be, like, passed out in 30 minutes. there's that. Tony, what do you
think? Got a drink to that bad joke.
Cheers. Yeah. Tony, what do you think? Should we do a little long box, or should we jump into some news and notes?
I think we should jump into some news and notes. Sorry, right. Kevin.
Well, we might come back to it. What do you got, Tony?
Alright, so this one, actually read this, about a week and a half ago, but we didn't have time to talk about it. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're planning a new movie. I love the old school movies. I love the series in general.
We're talking live action.
Live action. Michael Bay. Ooh. That's the one bad part about this. He takes our beloved childhood
and rapes it.
Kind of. But still, visually though, fucking awesome. I still can't get over how real looking the Transformers looked. I just had such a hard time believing the stupid storylines. And what it seems
like Sam Witwicky hooking up with Megan Fox.
Oh God, yeah.
That's not ever gonna happen. Never.
Only in movies. So right now with the Ninja Turtles, there's been a lot of speculation and outcry of him changing their origins, not from sewer turtles in the sewer and the ooze falling on them, but them from being an alien race. That just to my and. Everything in my body pisses me off. It's the ooze.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not teenage alien invading Ninja Turtles, because that would spell taint. You know, not TMNT.
I've heard this now. Is this confirmed?
It's been confirmed, but then it's been denied, and he realizes if he changes that one aspect, no matter how visually stunning you make it, you won't be able to watch it.
Be able to recover, but you know, Derek had an excellent point. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah, they're mutants from the ooze. It would be like if he, Transformers, him saying that they were man-made on Earth. No one would watch that movie.
They would, but they would bitch, but it would be such a smaller percentage of people that would watch it.
Why he's trying to change it, I don't understand.
They aren't supposed to be teenagers, and they aren't supposed to be mutants, apparently.
Yeah, they're supposed to be just Ninja Turtles, which is what I've also heard they might change the name of the movie to.
It's just Ninja Turtles is actually what I heard they were going to call it.
But another thing, a script leaked recently, and everyone agrees it's fucking terrible. The Turtles are from Dimension X. They're part, which is the only thing I'm like, okay, that kind of makes a little bit of,
it's a cool little tie.
So I may give the ooze overlook if that's how they got here.
Well, what if they were mutants in Dimension X?
That would be okay.
They're
part of a bigger prophecy, which that kind of is like, okay. And then Shredder and the Foot Clan, he's going to be Colonel Schrader, and they're going to be like FBI agents. Special ops team. Out.
That's just ridiculous.
Now, Michael Bay said that this isn't the right script, and him and this production team have been working on this. But they've been working on this script for the last couple years, and this is now just leaking.
Yeah. Well, and there's going to be a lot of bitching about it. Here's the question, Tony. No matter how bad you know he's fucking with your childhood, are you still going to go see it?
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. That's where he's got you by the nuts.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing that they got on their hands, because you want to make something that has wide appeal, but yet makes your base happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because, man, Turtles at the end of the day, are they still popular anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Well, because I know they had Detroit Fanfare last year, Kevin Eastman was there.
Okay.
He had a line all day, every day, that never stopped. And,
see, the current
artist. No, he's the one of the original creators.
Oh, okay.
And, they had some blank variants there that they were selling, and he was doing a sketch on each one.
There was a long line, but was there anyone in that line under 20?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So, Tony, I got a couple quick little news and notes segments, if I can pop in here. One that I think you might be happy about is they just released that one of the new series in the Marvel Now that's coming out is going to be Cable and X-Force.
Oh, yeah. I actually read that and was going to trying to ruin your thoughts on that. Yeah. Just makes me excited, but then pissed off that I'm going to have another book I have to pick up.
I'm not picking this one up because it's got Forge. I hate Forge. It's got Domino. I love Domino. I love Colossus. I really don't give a shit about Cable, and I hate Dr. Nemesis. So, although they did give him a little bit better look in this one, than what he previously had.
What does Dr. Nemesis do?
He's really smart and lives a long time. But he lives a long time because he's created serums.
Yeah, I like him. Anymore. He's kind of mysterious, but yeah.
Yeah. The one that I know, if you haven't seen it, Tony, you're going to be really excited about this.
Hey, wait. Actually, something I was thinking about earlier. Sorry to interrupt
you. Oh, son of a bitch. Is this Tony Butts in again?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you're a dick.
Well, we just talked to... I want to ruin whatever you were going to ruin for me, so...
Okay.
Okay, so we just talked about Professor X dying, and I was just thinking, we all got our favorite superheroes or just people that are out there. If you had to kill a superhero, who would it be and why?
Phantom X. Oh, no wait, he's already dead.
No, okay. but it can't be... Oh, well, fuck. It can't be a lame person, even though fuck you, because Phantom X is awesome. So it can't be someone that you don't like anyways.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, because the easy answer to that question for me would be Storm or Cyclops, because I fucking hate Storm. Or the Watcher. But I don't know if you can actually kill the Watcher, because then that kills all the what-ifs. And I do kind of like the what-ifs. But, I mean, Cyclops, I think... Storm and Cyclops, I think they've outlived their usefulness. But for me, God, if I had to kill one of them, kill a hero, and they have to stay dead, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, because that's the thing. Nobody ever fucking stays dead.
Yeah.
I would probably say maybe Spider-Man, but they already killed him in the Ultimate Universe and that, you know. But for as much as I'd hate to see it, but I still think it would be an awesome storyline, would probably be Daredevil. You know, and here's what I'm thinking, though. You know, it's kind of off the top of my head, but I mean, especially like if they had Kingpin kill the Daredevil. And I'm going back to the 80s.
Makes me think of that. Like, there was a what if. What if Kingpin killed the Daredevil?
No, Daredevil killed the Kingpin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I love that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I love that. That was a cover by Keith Pollard, which I absolutely love. But, no, I mean, I think, like, if Kingpin killed, you know, Daredevil, you know, I think if he got killed, I mean, especially after all the mental torment that Matt Murdock's been through, I think Marvel could actually make a huge story out of it. And one of my favorite story arcs was back when John Romita Jr. was drawing, and I don't remember who was writing at the time, but it was Kingpin set up every one of Daredevil's, you know, bad guy enemies that he could to literally go in one after the other and kick the shit out of him until Typhoid Mary dropped him off a bridge and left him for dead. Obviously, he didn't die. But amazing. But I mean, like, you know, I think that would probably have a huge impact for two reasons, thinking about it. Number one, if Daredevil died being, like, one of the kind of normal guys in there, I think that would really rally, especially now that he's an Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would really rally people around him and make them go after the Kingpin, and then I think they might actually kill the Kingpin.
I'm surprised that he's not dead yet.
Well, but especially Punisher coming in and just popping him in the brain, I think would be great.
Well, speaking of an Avenger that I would kill off.
Here's my last thing, though, real quick, and then it's all yours.
I can't interrupt you during my interruption?
No. But the kicker on this is exactly what you said, though. I think they would actually have, like, they would actually be able to create a really good story. But don't ever bring him back. And that's why I'm saying Daredevil, because he's not superhuman other than his radar type stuff. So he doesn't have the ability to regenerate. And I think they should just kill him and leave him dead.
God damn it, man. You've been really thinking about this really hard.
Well, I thought about it before. And so that's why, I mean, like, when Tony mentioned it, you know, it's like, well, I thought about it when they killed Spidey. Anyway, Tony, go.
I was thinking of Thor.
Kill a god?
Yeah, well, I like... But see, this is the thing. He's been killed multiple times, and he keeps getting reincarnated, and the same cycle of Ragnarok happens. I'm getting sick of the same stories of Thor. I'm getting sick of the same Ragnarok. I'm getting sick of the same overall storytelling of the series. I like Thor a lot, but I like Loki a little bit better. Journey into Mystery right now has become, you know, a good series to pick up. But Thor just, he's run his course. And not just for storyline, but, like, ultimately, it would have a huge impact on the Marvel Universe because there wouldn't be so many fucking events involving Thor and his, I gotta die now, sacrifice, the serpent. They wouldn't have had to do the whole fear itself thing. That would have been awesome. I mean, it's just his time to hit the bucket.
Well, and
Uncle Ben style.
That would be great if he just got shanked by, like, some random dude and that was it. Like, just some guy that walks up behind him, like,
as Donald Blake.
Gets killed by Lysol from Dave Chappelle. You
know? So, Kevin, you got anyone that you could kill? And
dude, I have no idea on this one. Really, I've been thinking about this one for about a day. I'm like, okay, I got Storm, Cyclops, but I want to try and think of somebody else outside the Marvel universe that I want.
What about Aquaman? Nobody likes him.
But I don't know anything about him other than he had Hook for a little bit of time.
Well, yeah, but I mean Aquaman, I think it'd be kind of fun. Throw him in the
desert.
That's
easy to say, just Aquaman. I mean,
Power Rangers, suit up.
Kill the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
There's enough of them anyways.
Bring the Megazord out.
Or kill your phone, nerd.
All right, let's get back to news and notes. I think the last thing I would say, though, you were talking about Spider-Man earlier. Kill Aunt May. She just needs to die.
Well, didn't she die at one point? Didn't she pass away? This is probably...
You probably
10 years ago.
You might read too many what-ifs, though. I don't know.
No.
You're losing track of reality and what's happening.
No, of course, I never read any Spider-Man. But I'm just going back 10 years where... and I'm just going from covers and flipping through them. And I thought she did pass away.
Ooh. I just thought of one that would just be, like, really fucked up. Kill Reed and Sue Richards' kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would turn them quite dark quickly.
Yeah. Just kill the kids. Slaughter them. Like, just mercilessly.
But I like the Franklin Richards spectacular.
Yeah.
That's a fun comic.
All right, so let's kick back here.
Some news and notes. What were you going to tell me that was going to piss me off?
No, I think that will actually, that you'll like. Now I don't want to tell you something good. did you see Thunderbolts was announced?
No.
Thunderbolts. It has Elektra, which I thought she was dead. I didn't know she came back. It shows Elektra on the front cover.
Surprise.
I wonder if it shows... Okay, so...
Has she been dead for a while?
Yeah. Yeah, it's... At least I thought. I didn't think she ever actually fully came back, but I don't know. So, the team's going to be led by the Red Hulk. So, Thunderbolt Ross.
Okay.
It's going to have Venom, Elektra, the Punisher... and Deadpool. And Tony, here's why you're going to be happy. Guess who's writing it and guess who's drawing it?
Ooh.
Daniel Way is writing it, so he's still going to be writing Deadpool for you.
Okay.
And Steve Dillon, who we met at that convention up in Traverse City, C3, he's going to be drawing it.
Awesome.
It's going to be a fantastic, like, that's when I'm like, you know what? I'm not a huge fan of the Red Hulk. And
I've become a huge fan of his, more than the regular Green Hulk, just because he stays in Hulk form, but he doesn't...
I don't like him because when he turns into a Hulk, he doesn't have his mustache. That pisses me off. His mustache disappears. I'm like, how's that happen? You know, apparently I'm okay with him turning into a giant red angry beast, but when his mustache disappears, that's too far outside reality for me.
I got two TV tidbits for you.
Okay, I have one more on the Now Marvel Now stuff.
Oh, okay.
The one that I'm really, really excited for, because, you know, they've been putting these teasers out of there. Like, they had Lightning with Way and Dylan, and that's obviously the Thunderbolt. You know, they have Wanted with Hopeless and Laraka, which I think that is, if I'm remembering, oh, no, that's not the right one. There's one for Avengers Arena, which I don't remember who that is. Oh, that might be the Survive one that they put out there with Hopeless and Walker, which, yeah, that's it. But the other one that they have out there, it just says, you know, I mean, it says Killers with Humphreys and Garney. I'm super excited about this because Sam Humphreys, who I'm going to talk about later in the Indie Turnpike, is one of my favorite writers for another book. So I'm really excited. But the only thing I'm guessing is that this Killers, based on the colors, I think might be the Uncanny X-Force. Now, they've already said that they have Cable and X-Force, but the Uncanny X-Force has been a team of Killers.
Okay.
So, we already know Rick Remender's leaving it, which I love Rick Remender on that title. He's done a bang-up job. But, man, if Sam Humphreys takes over, I'm as happy as I can be.
Okay, so, I thought when you said the Cable and X-Force, so they're going to break up the Uncanny.
Well, it doesn't have any of the other members from Uncanny X-Force.
Maybe it'll be a giant X-Force versus X-Force battle in the future.
Yeah, but you know who's going to win. It's not Cable. He always loses. So, all right, so that's all I got from news and news.
Okay, so there's the new Green Arrow series that's debuting this fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's just titled Arrow. And
the TV's show, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited about it. I've seen some trailers. Whenever, I mean, even if it's a character that I don't really care about, whenever they have superheroes on TV, it's just great for the industry, and it's great for to watch. Like, when Heroes was a show before season three.
When Heroes actually was a show worth watching before season three. Yeah.
Loved, like, was it Monday nights? I would always make sure I was home Monday nights to watch it.
Or you'd come over to my place.
Yes, and rent them, borrow them.
Yeah. That was a great show. Actually, I just rewatched season one.
Well, and I have to say, I mean, Arrow coming off of Smallville that had how many? Eight seasons?
Or Smallville had 10. And season 11 is now in comic book form.
Yeah, and that was a great show.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, no, like when the TV show got canceled and it was like.
You didn't know that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, true on that. as a little tag on with that, I heard this morning. That the CW is in the works to do a Wonder Woman show. But it's going to be more like a pre-Wonder Woman, kind of like a Smallville version, is the rumor I heard.
That's tough. I never watched
Linda Carter.
Linda Carter. I never watched that.
I was like five and I had the biggest crush on her.
Yeah.
I just wanted to play with
just
her.
Knowing,
I had the biggest on her too.
I wanted to play with her lasso.
Just knowing what little I do about her universe, I'm like, I don't know how that's going to really work out for the small screen, but it's just a fictional character. You can put her in whatever environment you want.
Yeah. I mean, it could be interesting.
So like I said, hopefully when that comes out, we'll watch it.
We'll probably talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. One other TV show that's coming out is this fall season is Walking Dead season 3.
Yeah, which I'm only through season one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how are you not?
Well, because I'm cheap and I don't have cable. I spend my money on comic books instead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when that comes out too, I guess then we won't talk about some of the things that. Well, you've read the comic books, so you understand.
I don't really care.
Right now,
this is one thing I don't want to be spoiled. What happens in season two?
Well, and you still gotta. I gotta get you the rest of those trades to borrow for.
Well, you guys understand about the prison, right? You've read up at least to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll spoil it for everybody else, but not for Kevin. So we'll come back to The Walking Dead.
Well, I already said it anyways. Anyways, look up online the prison. Looks amazing. This season is probably going to be the better ones. I think last season it kind of did a little slump, but Walking Dead and... that it's different from the books, but similar, makes it a great show because for the fans, you kind of know what's going to happen. But at the same point, when they do something totally different from the books, you can't be fan bitchy and be like, oh my God, that's not straight to the books. They're not trying to make an exact adaption. They're trying to surprise you as well.
Yeah, but you know in the TV show, they'll never kill Carl or Rick like they did in the book. Oh, was I trolling for a lie there?
At first, I was confused. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, they haven't killed
him. Kevin's over here saying, they kill Rick? What?
And they kill his kid? No, they haven't killed him yet.
They become zombies, and then you get the title Walking Dead.
Actually, it wouldn't surprise me in the TV show, though, if they do kill Carl.
Just kind of what they do. I hate that little whiny.
From a logistics standpoint, it's the same thing with when Walt just disappeared off Lost. Kids don't stay kids forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, no matter how much you know the pedophiles want them to.
Have you ever been to Neverland? Duh.
Yeah. So Kevin, did you have any little tidbits that you wanted to throw in here before we finish up with that?
No, I'm good.
You're good.
One thing I'd tell listeners to look up. So we've talked about it. We've posted it on our Facebook page, and it's blown up the internets. The Gundam
style.
Gundam style.
Gundam
style. And there's been so many parodies going on. I think, though, the best far has been Deadpool.
Deadpool versus Gundam style.
It is a need to Google, look it up, and watch it.
Yeah. And then go look up Bubble Pop by Hyuna.
Oh, God, no.
she's the hot girl in the video, not in the Deadpool video. Go watch it. It's a freaking earworm that you'll never get rid of. All right, well, let's tie that up, and we're going to jump onto the Indy Turnpike then, if we're good there.
Yeah.
This week for the Indy Turnpike, I have Fanboys versus Zombies number 6 from Boom Studios. because there's an exclamation point after it, and it's all caps. It's written by Sam Humphries, who I just mentioned in hopefully what will be Uncanny X-Force. Art's by Jerry Gaylord, and the cover on this one was Kerry Randolph, which, by the way, Tony, nice accidental segue. Check out the cover on this. It's an homage to Michonne from Walking Dead.
That is pretty sweet.
Leading her two zombies with their arms cut off, carrying a katana, you know, got them on chains. I've talked about this book before, and I've talked about it quite a bit, and there's a huge reason, because this book is hands down my favorite ongoing series that's not from a major publisher. It's just awesome. I mean, it's got everything that guys like us want. The characters are solid. And honestly, they're a lot like us. And I mean, they're kind of exaggerations of us and people like us, but still you can sit there and go, oh, hey, I know her. Hey, I know that guy. I mean, which that kind of makes it fun, makes it relatable. The art itself has a little bit of a cartoony feel to it, but it works perfect for the tone of this book. I mean, it's exactly what it should be for this story. The expressions on the characters and even on the zombies are awesome, and Jerry Gaylord knows how to make you go back and look a page over a second time, even though you can't wait to see what's coming on the turn. So, and I guess if I had to kind of explain the style to somebody who hasn't seen this, I'd say it's like maybe like Hanna-Barbera and some anime got together and did a lot of really good drugs and then shared them with the readers, because I don't know how else to explain it. It's not like other things that I've seen.
Oh, it's a great book, and I have to say that I saw, I don't know if it was a Zero series or a something free comic book day, something that was free of this in the dollar bin. So it's going up 100% in price.
I don't remember there being one for
or maybe it was a dollar. It was something where I was like looking. Well, I was
no,
like,
the original number one issues were all a dollar.
Okay.
Which Boom Studios did a great job with that.
Yeah, I picked up a dollar Boom comic the other day. Planet Earth or Destination Earth? I forget the title of it. I haven't read it, but
I'm not sure. But
yeah, but no, that's really cool. I like that they do that.
Well, you know, and the thing is,
actually, even this in the back cover, it's talking about whatever this freelancers from Boom. It's going to be a dollar.
Yeah,
the first issue.
Boom is smart as hell with that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they are just really, really smart with that. In the fact that, you know, they're like, hey, read the first one, and we're going to keep the price down so that we get more people to read it initially, and then if they like it, they'll come back and they'll spend, what the hell am I spending on this? $3.99 for this book. You know, I mean, I don't even care what the price is. I buy it. It could be $5-7 and I'd be like, eh, whatever, put it in there. I'm buying it because I'm addicted. And I like zombie stuff, and I love zombie stuff when it's done well. Fanboys versus Zombies is the one exception to the rule as far as a comic book, where a zombie book doesn't have to be scary and serious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of a Shaun of the Dead almost of the zombie comics. I mean, the book's got humor. It's got animated gore. Normally, it's chock full of all these like really nerdy little Easter eggs. And although this issue seemed to be lacking on some of them, there still were. Maybe I just have really high expectations of the stuff that's going to be thrown in there. You know, I want to find more. And actually, it's one of the reasons why I go back and reread this book twice every time. Because I start going, oh, like, I mean, at the beginning, Tony, take a look at the guy's pajamas that he's wearing. You know, I mean, when you cruise in there, like on the front cover, they make a Lego reference in there. You know, I mean, he's, what was that? Was that Invader Zim on there?
Yeah, that was Invader Zim. Zim
pajamas. You know, they make Lego references. There's a lot of really cool little stuff in there that I love. You know, so if you like zombie stories, then you should go buy this book. But more importantly, if you read comic books at all and you like just nerdy stuff in general, then you have to go buy this book. Because there's really something in there for everywhere, for every fanboy. I look forward to it every month. I honestly wish they could magically make this book come out weekly. I know they can't, although I will settle to settle for maybe having a couple beers with the creators of this book, Sam Humphries, Jerry Gaylord, and, you know, I'm even going to throw Eric Harburn and Bryce Carlson, who are the editors of this, into it, because if those guys are making this book, they've got to be some of the coolest motherfuckers ever.
And what would be an awesome splash page is, couple guys sitting there doing a podcast, and then some zombies come in and just eat their necks.
Something. Like maybe a little Drunk on Comics thing on the back. You know.
Yeah.
So
hint.
Yeah. But yeah, I love this. One little tidbit on the story. The only spoiler that I'm going to throw is they end up getting back to another Comic-Con. The nerds have recreated another Comic-Con because San Diego got destroyed by zombies. So that's where it ends. Awesome book. Go buy this damn book. It's fantastic. That's it.
All right. Going off of that, got a little nugget from the net to...
some interwebs?
Yes.
Woo, interwebs.
It's not necessarily the site, but what's on this site. It's called Super Mario Brothers Crossover. It's on, and we're going to have to put this link up on the webpage for you guys to go to it, unless you just Google Super Mario Crossover.
We have a webpage? What is it, Tony?
DrunkOnComics.com.
Woo!
But the title is explodingrabbit.com/article/how-to-play/... Oh, nope. I'm on the wrong page here. /game/ Super Mario Brothers Crossover.
Yeah, so... If they wanted to look up the page, what's the title of the page up at the top? I mean, would it be easy?
ExplodingRabbit.com, and you can then click on the point where it says what Super Mario Brothers Crossover is.
Okay.
It's a Flash-based game. It takes Mario, and it crosses him over with other games. So you play through the levels that you're used to on Mario. Maybe I'll turn down the volume a bit so that...
Maybe just a little bit.
But as you guys can see... You play through the levels as other 8-bit characters,
and
you have
awesome.
Their powers. You know, you got Link there. He can use his boomerang. They all have a superpower. Mario and
is that Samus?
Yep. That one is.
That's Castlevania guy.
Yep, Castlevania. There's a Ryu from Ninja Gaiden. There's Samus.
Okay.
Each one of these characters has a different way to play the game. Mario and Luigi are the only ones that can stomp on characters, but everyone else has ray guns, other things that they can do, and you play through the levels as these other 8-bit characters. You can find specials, you can find hidden powers. Ultimately, an awesome game, but I will say you really need to have a gamepad joystick that you can hook up to your computer to really get the feeling of nostalgia playing the game. You can play with your keyboard, but it's a little bit of a bitch when you're trying to run, jump, and you're used to moving your controller. You can't really just move your keyboard when you're playing this game.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things
this,
I think.
This is cool. Like, because when I played it, I only played like up to level 1-2.
You got far.
Then I stopped. But is it the whole game?
Yeah, it's the whole game. They have, and they've even started adding more support and characters, other power ups, other secrets.
Is this free to play?
Yeah, it's free to play. It's, you know, one of those things. Fans decided they wanted to put this together and just created it and threw it up on the web.
Nice.
So like I said, it's definitely a game to check out. You will waste hours, especially playing with the different characters and seeing how they can get through the level. But ultimately, you really need to go buy a joystick to truly enjoy it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's my link for the week.
All right. Well, we're going to jump to Booze in a Book. This week for Booze in a Book, I got He-Man and the Masters of the Universe number 2 from DC. Tony, I see you looking because you want to see it. I don't know where it ran off to. It's written by James Robinson and Keith Giffen. Art on this is by Philip Tan and Howard Porter. I'm pairing this with a Stevens Point Brewery Belgian White, and it's a it's a 5.38% alcohol by volume. It's a wit beer, which is brewed with a hint of coriander and orange peel.
And, I love beers like that.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked when I had the first one. I mean, it kind of, you know, surprised me. Now I'm pairing these with each other because they're both simple. They're smooth, but they've got a full flavor. You know, there's a sweetness to both of them that you wouldn't expect. The beer, obviously, with the hint of the fruit, and with the book, it's that trip down memory lane, you know, from when you first started watching the cartoon and playing with the action figures. The great thing is that neither the book or the beer are made for kids. They're made for adults who like something a little bit different from their beer and their comics. And if you like that, you're going to enjoy both of these. Most importantly, neither the beer nor the book has anything to do with Orko.
So. I do have, normally, Booze in the Book is just a quick, you know, excerpt, but I just flipping through this, I have to say the art is pretty great.
Yeah.
And I just, quick question, does he say, I have the power?
Not yet. Actually, what's going on in the storyline, and I know we never really get into anything on this on Booze in a Book, but in this, Adam has, from what you can tell by issue two, Adam is a woodsman. He's not the prince of Eternia. He's a woodsman, and then all of a sudden this Falcon comes in and kind of leads him off, saying, you know, like kind of getting him out, and all of a sudden he decides that he needs to leave his little cottage in the woods. He's attacked by Beastman in the first issue, and then on the way out he's captured by Lockjaw or whatever the hell the guy's name was.
Okay, yeah.
And he's captured by him. Find out that,
yeah, isn't he like a green dude?
Yeah. Find out that Skeletor is, I think, his uncle in this. Okay. And he's wiped Adam's mind clear and trying to hide him from who he really is. So Adam ends up in these fighting situations and knows how to fight, but doesn't. His body remembers how to fight, but his brain doesn't.
Okay.
They introduce Teela in it. She doesn't remember who she is, but they know each other.
So that's an awesome, interesting way to kind of get the readers to see a new story of old characters.
It's really good. So, yeah. Now, Tony, I did have a couple just comic book shout-outs, a couple other two that we just didn't have time to talk about that I do really want to mention. One is the Rocketeer Cargo of Doom, which this one is written by Mark Waid, arts by Chris Samnee, colors by Jordy Belair. This is a fantastic book. If you're not reading this one, you're definitely missing out. The other, I mentioned just briefly earlier, Uncanny X-Force, Rick Remender, Phil Noto, doing that one. Two books well worth picking up that, you know, I wanted to bring up that if you aren't sure, if you were looking for something else, there you go. So, we got anything else we need to chat on? How are we doing on time? Are we
about time to
kind of wrap her up?
Yeah.
All right. A couple quick things then. Go over to our website, which is what, Tony?
DrunkOnComics.com.
Yeah, you can find some random posts from us. Check out the Artist Alley. There's a lot of independent artists and actually a couple professional artists in there too. Go check out their stuff. You might find something that you really like. You know, give them some love. Find us on Facebook. That's kind of become its own little thing. It's really started to spring up here in the last couple weeks. You can find us on Twitter. Just look up Drunk on Comics on either one of those. And I think that pretty much does it, other than we're coming up quickly to, 6 weeks away from doing our podcast over at Fanfare?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. So if you guys are going to be in the Detroit area or can make it, come on over and join us. It's going to be a lot of good times. So I think that'll do it. So
that'll do it. We will see you guys next week.
Yeah. Say goodbye, fellas.
Hi.
All right.
Fellas.
All right. On behalf of all of us here at Drunk on Comics, keep reading those comic books. We'll be back next week to talk about them again. See ya.